Ready, set, go!
Welcome into Checkpoint Esports and Gaming Radio. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Westwood One. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Monday, December 3rd, 2018, your home for esports and gaming radio. I want to thank listeners on 98.5, the Sports Hub of Boston, as well as the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, how is Blizzard such a powerhouse at establishing esports? Even competitive World of Warcraft raiding is getting sponsorship now. Plus, we've got to talk about Nintendo lack the policies around their content in streams and YouTube videos. And have you seen AI-assisted graphics? Because you really, really should. Those conversations are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start playing some catch-up from the weekend. Joining me to help talk about their weekend is the Checkpoint XP crew, Robbie Landis.
Moving the payload.
Over at the drop board, Norris Howard.
We really don't know what we're dealing with here, man.
And over at the Checkpoint XP news desk, Joe Sloan.
Check a look. And I don't know if you can even introduce me as from the news desk anymore.
And I know.
This is the week where that changes.
Yes, this is the final
now
one.
You're just Joe.
So this weekend for me, it was like when we started this job, I think one of the things that I was looking forward to was having some normal weekend scheduling, right? Mm-hmm. Like some time to plug into some video games.
Sure. And, 76, boy.
Yeah. And you know, that's definitely what was going on this weekend, but I wasn't playing as much 76 as I wanted to,
which is to say all of it,
because I was doing a lot of work for Checkpoint XP Daily to get this show ready for the podcast that launches today.
Awesome.
That is today that
it
launches?
Is.
Wow.
It is. This is going to be the first episode officially podcasted for Checkpoint XP Daily. But the thing that I was working on was making sure all of the episodes that we've done in the month of November are able to be podcasted as well.
That is
so,
a lot.
So if you're listening to this right now on the Checkpoint XP Daily feed, all of those shows in November that you have there available to download are that was my hard work and effort over the weekend. You are welcome for that. You can thank me later, and you can thank me in the form of giving me things off of my Steam wish list. I'm kidding.
No, he's not.
He's kind of kidding.
I'm only half kidding.
He's sort of kidding.
You need money.
You can thank me in bits at our channel over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. But no, seriously, we have been setting up a whole bunch of new podcasts. Again, we got rid of our on-demand listening. We heard your complaints about Mixcloud.
And we agreed with them.
Exactly. And so we wanted to make sure that our content was available as a podcast. So while you guys don't have the national show available on demand, all of that content plus extra content is going to be available through Checkpoint XP Daily, and now that's going to be available as a podcast. So that's what was going on in my weekend, and I felt like my weekend was a little bit stolen because of that. I'm a little bit bummed about it.
I get it. I mean, you won't have to do that this weekend. We'll be out at doing the event on Sunday.
That's
so
right. We're going to be out with the Renegades on Sunday. Norris and Robbie are going to be out at Laugh Boston in Boston for the Boston Uprising event that's happening out there, the Boston Uprising Collegiate Cup. So a lot of things happening this weekend. Plus, I've got to find time to update all of our imaging since, as you were talking about, Sarah is going to be taking
over
news desk duties. So I've got to change all of the imaging to now over to Sarah over at the news desk.
Yeah, that's correct. Yep. So yeah.
You guys are just making impossible amounts of work for me.
That, to be fair, all of those things were from corporate. Not a one of those came from us.
Yeah, I'm just going to blame you guys because
corporate's not here.
Nope.
So you
blame
guys are in
Joe.
Trouble.
It's, you know, it's Joe's fault.
It is kind of Joe's fault.
Yeah, if he could have hacked it as the news guy, we wouldn't be in this position.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I wish we didn't have to fire you from the news desk and from the show.
It was clearly affecting the way you were making games, so hopefully going forward, we'll see.
Yeah, no,
I'm not going to lie.
The Ask Away game really told us a lot.
We
really needed to figure out a way to punish you. So
listen, I'm not going to lie. As a gender fluid individual, being told they wanted someone feminine at the news desk hurt a little bit. It was definitely a punch below the belt.
Anyway,
my weekend. Speaking of, Sarah Scopic will be joining us over our weekend. We put in an offer that was accepted on a house.
Oh wow.
Isn't that nice?
Adulting.
Dude, I have in a very short period of time learned what adulting means.
Ugh.
I put in an offer on a house. I had the owner play hardball with me. I had to set up an inspection. I have an appraisal coming up. Man. All of it at once, man. This is bullshit. I don't like this.
It's a lot of work, man. Being an adult, I swear, it takes... As soon as you finally get a disposable income, it's like, oh, now I have responsibilities to uphold. Well,
first of all, you immediately realize that it isn't disposable at all, and you've been kidding yourself the entire
time.
Listen,
bro, I can't wait to go in TP Joe's house and, like, light bags of poop on fire and run away.
I think I know who I'm not giving my address to.
Oh, I'm gonna find out.
Sorry, I got you, Norris.
You
need a partner in crime.
We in there, bro. You gonna wake up and your whole house is gonna smell like eggs. House. Yeah.
Okay.
Watch out.
That's a gas leak. I'm gonna be very concerned if you damage my gas line.
Okay, not rotten eggs.
He means throwing eggs at your house.
You're gonna egg your house,
come on,
man.
Yeah.
All right.
Man. You didn't do a lot of mischief as a child, did you?
I lived in Clawson.
Oh yeah,
you know it's funny. I actually got arrested for egging a house in fifth grade.
Really?
I am not joking. I am not joking. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening over at our Twitch channel at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. You can join in at our chat room and join us live every single day at 5 p.m. That's, again, over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Yes, I got arrested in fifth grade for egging a house.
Wow. I'm just going to tell you, Nate, I've never heard anything less surprising in my entire life.
Definitely.
How did you get caught?
Because we stayed there to watch them react to it. I was in fifth grade. I didn't say I was a smart fifth grader.
Why didn't you run around a tree or down the block?
We were hiding behind a bush in their next door neighbor's yard.
That's too
You're
close.
Just sitting there
That's
giggling as they like the brush starts shaking. Hey, get off me, man.
That is too close.
That's
because
too close.
When the cops rolled up on us with the spotlight, there was nowhere to go. And they knew exactly where we were.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's because someone was watching out the window. He's like, they just hid behind the bushes. I can see their feet.
Yeah.
I was going to say, my weekend wasn't very eventful. It was pretty laid back. I had to go to a going away party where my sisters is moving out of state. So Katie got to meet that side of the family.
You got 65 other sisters?
Yeah, I know. So I wasn't sweating it.
I was about to say, what's one moving away?
But I haven't seen a lot of the people on that side of the family for a while. So it was nice to catch up to them. And then we went out and bought and put up our first Christmas tree in our new place.
That's cute.
That was. Forgot the angel, the star, whatever you put on top. So
it's up to you, an angel or a star.
We ended up putting an Omniblade up there instead.
That's fitting.
That's very
fitting.
That makes sense. I can see
that. Yeah.
But filled with some 76. So yeah.
That's crazy, dude. I have like Christmas ornaments from the time I was like a child, like a baby.
See, my mom probably has those stored away someplace, but we just bought a bunch.
See,
of
my
stuff.
Mom got a much larger bougie tree that like it has to have the specific ornaments that are color coordinated to all the other stuff she putting on the tree. So all the cute ones from my childhood, she just threw in a box and gave them to me and was just like, here you go. I don't want them anymore.
I love how your mom's
get
like,
these out of here.
Some moms would be like heartbroken, like, oh, remember when Norris was 7 years old? Your mom's like, get this trash out of my house.
Pretty much. He made this when he was in third grade with macaroni.
I got like five of those.
So when I was in elementary school, we had a self-publishing center, right? Like it was like you could write a story and you could draw some pictures and you would take it to the publishing center where they would bind it up
Nate
and
went
like
to a
make
bougie
it
elementary school
into like a little book for you. And so I have a collection of all of these books, and I went back and looked at them and I was like, I am shocked by how many of these contain video game characters. It was like Nate and Link go on an adventure in Hyrule. And it was
funny.
All very like detailed with like,
where'd you go wrong with the egging and the getting arrested, man?
You know what? It was a kid that was bullying me, and I wanted to counterpunch.
But anyway,
man.
I still think I had the coolest weekend. Obviously, me and my girlfriend, we went out to California for our producer Kookie's wedding.
That is true.
Representing the Checkpoint.
That's right.
Super producer Christine got married over the weekend.
That's right.
We were in the midst of interviewing Jonas Jerebko. We were not allowed to go.
Yes, right.
That's right.
On Friday, that was our opportunity. By the way, that'll be on tomorrow's Checkpoint XP Daily.
It
so
will.
Make sure you check that out if you want to check out what's going on with the Renegades. So yeah, we had a lot that was going on Friday, which Robbie, you were streaming Fallout 76.
Yep,
I
held down our Friday,
that.
Which, you know, still a good, like, you know, 30 to 40 people the whole time. It was real nice.
That's right.
So
that's
how was the wedding? The wedding was nice?
Absolutely fantastic. It was a little bit north of San Diego.
That's great.
Sunset type California stuff. It was amazing. And everybody, we have to say congratulations, Kuki. So congratulations, Kuki and Pelly, for your matrimony.
What happened after he kissed the bride?
Oh, they played the victory fanfare, which was great.
Because, of course, they would.
You were seated at the Metal Gear table, weren't you?
I was.
They had
at
a Metal Gear table?
Yeah. And just real quick, you know, when they do throwing the bouquets and stuff like that.
Yeah.
At the very beginning of it, they played the hit from Metal Gear VR Missions.
Oh,
it
that's
was like,
funny.
It was pretty. It was hilarious.
That's pretty
so
hilarious.
It was really cool.
Well, listen, we want to hear from you. What were you doing this weekend? More importantly, what were you playing this weekend? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on the gram. Still ahead on Checkpoint, Nintendo's always had a weird relationship with the media that covers their games. Well, it looks like they're relaxing that stance a little bit. We'll tell you all about it. Plus, AI-assisted graphics may be the next leap forward in game making. Those discussions are ahead today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, Blizzard is always so dominant when it comes to making a new esport. They seem to have the golden touch. What is it about Blizzard that makes them so special? We're going to talk about that ahead next on Checkpoint XP.
This is Checkpoint Esports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointRadio.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming radio. I want to thank everyone listening on the sports beat of East Texas, 104.3 in Carthage, 103.9 in Marshall, and 100.7 in Henderson, as well as 1250 and 94.5 ESPN San Antonio. Make sure you visit our website over at CheckpointXP.com. We've reworked our on-demand archive to be a podcast. That's right. Checkpoint XP Daily is now available as a podcast. Get all the same discussions and interviews featured on our nationally syndicated radio show as a daily podcast. Subscribe to Checkpoint XP Daily today at our website at checkpointxp.com. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, Nintendo has laxed a lot of its rules around using their games in streams and YouTube videos. Plus, is AI-rendered graphics the next big leap forward in making detailed game worlds? Those conversations are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But Blizzard seems uniquely good at making esports scenes. StarCraft was one of the first huge worldwide esports. Overwatch is setting the bar for esports currently, and even now a competitive World of Warcraft raiding guild has recently received a pretty big sponsorship.
Yeah, and here's the thing, is when we say a competitive World of Warcraft raiding guild, we're not talking about Mythic Dungeon raiding. We're not talking about the competitive esports scene. We're talking about literally the world firsting scene, the ones who are just trying to be the best raiders in the world. So
right.
The group Limit has signed a deal with GNC to be their sponsor, and GNC is going to be providing a nutritionist for them and supplements to help keep them in top condition.
I think this is a good idea for two reasons. GNC is a brand that, you know, I think would probably struggle to find another foothold into the esports market. But when we talk about, you know, world firsting and competitive MMO playing, like, that's a notoriously unhealthy thing. Like, before
when you talk about, you know, the competitive WoW raider, even with South Park, what immediately pops to mind?
Exactly. Exactly, right. Like, that's been, you know, the amount of time that you have to dedicate and sink into a game like that is substantial, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I think that this is a pretty good idea for GNC to get involved and make sure that, you know, it keeps these people healthy while they continue to, you know, pursue their goal of world firsting.
Yeah, and I think that's what's really interesting about this is again, we're not talking so much about the mythic dungeon runs. You know, wherever you fall and whether that's a decent esport, for me, it's not the most entertaining watch in the world, but I can see where the competition lies. But when we're actually talking about, you know, this deal being signed that runs through the end of Battle for Azeroth just for a competitive raiding group trying to be the first one to get it done.
When you think about the amount of eyes that are on this, though, it actually does make sense. It's like slapping your logo or your brand on the side of a billboard that's going to be in front of millions upon millions of people.
I mean, and that was my takeaway from it, is that at first I did, Joe, what you said, and I kind of said, what is really that about? But the more I think about it, and the more that I see, not just in WoW, but in just all MMOs in general, how important world firsting is to a lot of those communities. I mean, going to any, you know, subreddit of any MMO that has a raiding community, and
it's gonna be a topic of conversation.
And not just that, it may be near the topic of conversation.
Well, and in a lot of cases, it's rewarded by the game itself, right? Yeah. Like, you either get a unique title, or, you know, you make your mark on that. Yeah. You make your mark in history that way.
Mm-hmm. What actually surprises me the most, and I'd actually be curious to know why Limit instead of Method, because it was Limit and Method. Limit, I believe, is the North American guild, and Method is the EU guild. Method was actually the one who snagged the world first for completing Mythic Gahoon earlier this year. So to see them backing Limit instead, I don't know, just personally.
My guess is Limit were the ones who reached out and tried to form the partnership.
That's about to
Someone
say.
At Limit had
fair
the idea.
Enough, fair enough, because it was very, very close.
Right, and that's the thing is someone, I would guess, at Limit looked at this and said, wait a minute, we have tons of eyes on us. Esports is pulling in sponsorships left and right. There's no reason that we can't pull down the same thing. We may not be competing against other raid groups directly.
I mean, what this says to me is this is akin to like Red Bull sponsoring that dude's jump from space. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah, just to get your name out there.
Not just to get your name out there, but like, I would consider that still also a scientific and athletic endeavor, both of them. And so it's one of those types of things where I don't want to call it a quote unquote sideshow, but it's a niche thing.
It definitely is niche, but think about how many eyes are watching when it's currently
active. Think about how many people watch that guy jump from space.
That's true. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on ESPN Central Texas, KZRI and KTON in Waco, Texas, as well as ESPN 97.5 in Houston and The Horn 104.9 in Austin, Texas. We're currently talking about what makes Blizzard so unique at forming esports scenes. And I mean, that's kind of the central question here, because they, you know, brought StarCraft 2 into the world.
StarCraft
1. And I mean, all of the, you know, most of their games have turned competitive in some form or fashion. I mean, even Warcraft 3 was responsible for spawning the MOBA genre. You know, like, there's something unique in the DNA of Blizzard games that seems to translate over into competitive arena.
I'm
going to
tell you why.
Don't just say money.
No. Because
it's not just money.
I'm not going to say money. In every Blizzard game, there is sort of a spiritual commitment to balance in all of their games. And just about
don't let the Overwatch community hear you say
no,
that.
But I get what I'm saying. Yes. I don't care about, you know, how anybody feels about a specific meta or whatever, but everything Blizzard has always made has always been committed to this sort of notion that everything in that game is viable. And you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So when you think about even the StarCraft, of course, each faction had their advantages and disadvantages, but They were all viable.
Right.
And where this really comes from for me is this idea. This year, Blizzard's going to be working with NetEase to bring Warcraft 3 competitive to China.
Yeah.
And of course, I fully believe Warcraft 3 competitive will catch on over here,
oh,
too.
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt. I mean, you're just putting Warcraft 3 in the StarCraft 2 engine.
Absolutely.
And it looks gorgeous, and I think you are exactly right that there is going to be a competitive scene that forms up.
So with that, think about in your head the top 10 esports that are out there right now. Now we've got Overwatch, Warcraft 3, StarCraft 2, Heroes of the Storm, Hearthstone. Am I missing one?
Did you say Overwatch?
Maybe not. I don't know. If I didn't, Overwatch.
And then we'll throw WoW Mythic Dungeons.
Sure. Even their games that aren't designed to be esports are becoming esports. If I see competitive Diablo playing, it's over.
I'm going to lose my mind.
I don't know what's... Yeah, like, I'm going to be like, what world have I been launched into? But you're right, though. Like, there's something in the DNA of those games that makes them inherently competitive and fun to watch, too, because it's got to be both of those things.
And that's
it's got to be fun to be competitive and that competition has to be fun to watch.
Right, and that's the thing is just even by the law of averages, at least some of these should be failing.
Yeah.
But what's the... Name me the last Blizzard competitive game that flopped, that failed.
I don't know that I can.
I mean, the only one you could make an argument for is HOTS. But HOTS is popular enough.
It's not failing.
Exactly. Yes. It isn't failing. It's holding its own. And in the college scene, it's actually fairly popular.
Yeah. Is it something about the way that they approach their development? Is it something about the way that the games are designed that makes that so appealing?
I think it's design. And I also think that Blizzard now has figured out a formula that they know how to recreate and pretty much know. Nobody else does.
I think part of it is just Blizzard is in a spot where they have made so many good games over so long that everything they make gets a good benefit of the doubt. Now, usually they live up to that benefit of the doubt, so it's not really an issue.
Sure.
But there's a lot of games where you look on it on its face and you go, absolutely not. I'm not even going to try that.
But clearly, they're not above broad-based criticism. Look at the dragging that they got over Diablo Immortal.
Yeah, but at the same time, when's the last time they got a dragging like that?
That's true.
I think you have to give some of the credit to the fans as well. You know, me and Norris haven't gone out to BlizzCon this past year. There is something about Blizzard fans. There's a passion, there's a dedication to the brand that so long as they're putting out quality content, people are going to eat it up. And as ticked off as people may be at Diablo Immortal right now,
it's going to be loved when it comes out.
Everyone
I'm telling you.
That we've
and they're
seen
gonna
that's
they're
played
gonna sell it.
Love it.
They're going to sell so much in this game.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think what it is for me is the varying styles of gameplay that they cover. StarCraft is a very stingy game. It is very strict. You have to be very good at specific things to be able to do it. Heroes of the Storm, as far as a MOBA, though, is kind of on the other end. It's almost an easier, more accessible MOBA. Overwatch, as far as a shooter game goes, is a fairly accessible game.
Yeah.
They have managed to do it right kind of on both ends. Warcraft, when that hits the scene, is going to be a lot more like StarCraft.
It's going to be very technical.
Very, very much a thinking man sort of game. You're going to have to go back to that side of it.
It's like esports chess.
And that's where I think they do well. When you see something like Call of Duty, it's kind of the same every time. It takes the same skills each time you go into it. It's just, it always is cannibalizing its own market versus Blizzard esports games, which are trying to hit each kind of different market for esports viewership.
That's true. They do cover a broad base of genres inside of
the
gaming
bro.
Industry.
Dude, I can't even imagine Blizzard at the FGC.
What if Blizzard hits the FGC?
Don't even tease.
That's all I'm saying, man, because you take that fandom that is the FGC, and then you put the fandom that is Blizzard together. Mm. Ain't no telling. That would be it. Esports is over.
Well, listen, we want to hear from you. What is it about Blizzard that makes them so good at making competitive games? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint, have you seen this AI-assisted graphics? Because they're really, really lifelike. Could this be what video games need to make even more detailed game worlds? That discussion will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, Nintendo has laxed a lot of their rules around YouTube and Twitch. Stick around to find out what. That discussion is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint Radio. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointradio.com. This is Checkpoint, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointRadio.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas 101.5 FM as well as 720 AM and KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Make sure you're following us at our freshly partnered Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. We've got tons of new emotes, including each of our faces, as well as not one, but two cat emotes. Tali and Fritz, our actual cats, are now Twitch emotes, and there's only one place to get them. That's twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Nintendo's always kind of had a weird relationship with the media that covers it. In an attempt to right that wrong while still maintaining control over their intellectual properties, Nintendo started their partner program. Well, now on the cusp of the release of Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, that program is being disbanded.
You know, you say that Nintendo has had a weird relationship with the media that covers it. They've had kind of a weird relationship with just about everybody, it feels like, over the past 15 years?
Yeah, that's not untrue.
Yeah, I feel like there's, so there's two ends of it when you talk about companies and how people portray their IPs, whether it be streaming. You've got the good side of it, Blizzard and Bethesda, and you've got Atlas way down on the other end of it. And really, Atlas holds a spot all of its own, but right next to it for a long time was pretty much Nintendo.
Because, the program that they had set up, you had to tithe a certain percentage of your YouTube monetization to them.
Ooh. Bonus points for finding a way to use the word tithe.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But it is correct. That's weirdly accurate to what you had to do because, yeah, you had to sign over 20% of your channel's overall monetization in order to be a part of this program.
And not to mention, of course, you had to go through the Nintendo Seal of Approval background check.
It is ridiculous.
It was the most stringent, program of its kind.
I heard you had to go through an actual exorcism if you do that. Is that true?
That is true. They would send the exorcist out too. You didn't have to pay for it.
But it's ridiculous for a couple of reasons because, YouTube media and Twitch media have been prevalent for years now. It's not like this is a new thing.
No.
Right? And most game companies figured out how to navigate that relationship. Yeah. A long time ago, and it's like it's taken Nintendo till almost 2019 to come to the table on this.
Nintendo a new Smash. That's what it is.
Well, I mean, the thing is, it's for other companies, it's always been about figuring out how much you can get away with, right?
That's fair.
And the answer with Nintendo was always nothing.
Nothing.
You can get away with it with absolutely zero.
Right, because if you had any copyrighted content from Nintendo, they would either, before their partner program, they would either straight up take down your content from YouTube, or you would end up with like a cease and desist in the mail if they had to go that route.
And heaven help you if you have a fan-made game that you're doing.
Oh, yeah, don't.
I don't think you're going to see any lax on that.
No, I doubt it.
Or if you ran a ROM site, I think that they're determined to wipe those off of the face of the planet as well. But I mean, it's fascinating to me because this is such odd timing with, just being right at the edge of the release of Super Smash Bros. Ultimate that they're suddenly like, maybe it's okay.
Let's talk about what's actually happening here. They're getting rid of their partner program and now all you need to do is be in compliance with the YouTube partner program,
right?
And you're fine.
Which should have been the case.
Which should have been the case all along. But you know what it is? We owe this all to our brother from downriver, Ninja. And the reason why we owe this to Ninja is because he goes on Twitter and says, Smash family, I got something cooking up for y'all. And you really think Ninja was gonna give 20% of what he made on whatever he made to Nintendo? You bugging. Well, he wasn't about to do that.
Here's the thing. He might have had the foresight that this was going to happen. He might have, someone might have whispered, hey, we're about to lax those things. But I think what this has everything to do with is that deal struck in Japan last year that saw esports come in Japan.
That may have something to do with it, but I think
it's Ninja.
I don't know. I I don't know what it was that finally broke, but this was normal business practices 3 years ago for the rest of the industry. Now Nintendo's finally coming to the table. But you're right. The thing that changes is now Ninja gets to get involved. And some of these big kind of established names in the games media and streaming media are going to be able to now get involved with commentating and also just straight up playing and streaming Nintendo games. And I think that's going to be very big for Nintendo.
I mean, that's the thing, though. If you want the new Smash to be taken seriously in an esports sense, though, I think this was one of the things that you have to do.
That's really interesting.
You can't kneecap your game taking away people's ability to show tournaments.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on WEJS 1600 in Williamsport and Sports Radio 100.9 and 1070 in Madison, Wisconsin. We're currently talking about Nintendo changing and laxing their rules on YouTube and Twitch creators using their content in their videos and streams.
And on top of this is also very much so Nintendo doing this for so long because Nintendo was the only one who could get away with it.
They were
one of the only companies on Earth with
who could eat the PR hit required
exactly,
to be eaten.
Who could take the hit that they would have took on PR because they knew their games and their consoles were going to sell.
Well, listen, I don't want to, you know, trash on the man. I think he did unbelievable things for the video game industry and for Nintendo specifically. But ever since Iwata passed away,
Nintendo is coming to the 21st century.
I do think that he was the old guard. He was the last of really that old guard. Because Miyamoto at this point is the old hermit on a hill just letting his creations be free.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The thing
which is really cool.
Who comes on down from awesome. On high to bless a Zelda game every now and then.
Yes, exactly. Which is great. I love it.
But you're right. Since Iwata passed away, there's been a noticeable shift from Nintendo. I honestly think the Switch doesn't happen the way the Switch happens with Iwata there.
Well,
right.
I totally agree. But the thing is I mean, like, what? They couldn't have figured this out during the desperation period that was the Wii U.
I don't think it was
really?
About not being able to figure it out. Look at how many like third party games like is on the Switch now. I just think that there was an unwillingness to.
That's
do
what
it.
I say. It was an unwillingness. We don't need to.
When you have that kind of old guard mentality, there is that. This is the way it's been done since the beginning of the company. This is the way it will continue to be done because we know it can be successful.
One of the biggest
even
telling,
if it can't be.
Yeah, one of the biggest telling factors. Actually, this is going to seem really weird, but in Mario versus Rabbids, the whole Kingdom Battle thing.
Oh,
that
yeah.
was the first time that Mario has ever used some type of firearm because back under Iwata, there was Mario does not use guns, period.
I think the closest thing he ever got was Super Mario Sunshine, probably
that was it.
The water.
And
camp.
I guarantee you they had to pull teeth for that.
You're probably right, but Robbie, you make a good point. Just the. It's in the little things that you can see kind of a difference of approach, whether it's the Nintendo, even the tree houses and the Nintendo Direct. It's a little bit different than what you would have seen.
Or even
then.
Just the fact that, hey, you know what? Hey, here's the Switch. All this third party support, you know, noticeable shift to make this a third party device as well as a Nintendo device. It's night and day what Nintendo's done in a matter of less than 2 years.
Just the fact that my Switch connects to my Wi-Fi every time I load it up is just a technical marvel on Nintendo's part. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. Do you think this was the right move from Nintendo? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint, AI rendered graphics are eerily lifelike. And I mean, really,
it's creepy.
Eerily lifelike. Could this be the next technological leap needed to realize even larger open worlds in games? Stick around. That conversation is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
Checkpoint, Esports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointRadio.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on the Fanatic in Philadelphia, as well as everyone listening on ESPN Pittsburgh. Make sure you visit our website at CheckpointXP.com for our variety of podcasts. We've got the Checkpoint Podcast, as well as Checkpoint XP Daily, now available at CheckpointXP.com, plus a growing list of game-specific shows, like our Overwatch podcast, Low Team Damage, as well as our brand-new show for Fallout 76. 76, Checkpoint 76, and our brand new show about comics and superheroes, The Other Identity. Subscribe and download at our website, checkpointxp.com. Have you guys seen these AI-generated graphics?
Yeah, they're creepy.
We've shared a link on our social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint underscore XP on Instagram, to a video that shows off an AI-generated city, and it's probably the most impressive digital city I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, so you talk about kind of like the uncanny valley. Like, we've made references to, like, you know, hey, graphics are getting so photorealistic at this point. There's really not much more that could be done with it. And then this video comes along and you go, oh, never mind.
Well, because the uncanny valley is supposed to be this idea that we can't get it quite perfect. So when you look at it, there's something off about it.
It unsettles you.
Right.
When I saw you watching this, I thought you were watching dash cam videos.
Yeah, and I think that that's kind of the, I don't know, the almost misleading part of this whole thing, because it is sort of based off of dash cam video. So there's a lot of direct referencing that the computer can do to create this one piece of the city. And I understand the theory of, like, stitching a whole bunch of those parts together to be able to form a digital city. But I have to wonder how much cheating is going on by that the computer is doing by replicating something that should be an object as a texture. That's my most concerning thing, because a lot of how many times is it disappointing to walk up to a structure in a video game and you can't walk into it? It's a big painted rock, basically.
Right.
It's painted to look like a house, but you'll never be able to enter it. It's got no internal structure. That's one of the most frustrating things, I think, as a gamer to encounter, because you want
the immersion.
Exactly.
You want there to be a building or a hill. It's part of what made stuff like the Elder Scrolls game special.
Exactly.
Is that you saw a tower, you walked up to it, there was a door, and even if it was locked, you still could get in.
Yeah, you could either lockpick it, or you knew that there was a key that would eventually let you into that door. And I think that, with something like this, this is a great way to be able to, I think, help game makers be able to make more detailed worlds. But I don't think that this takes the human out of the process
together.
Well, and for those who don't know what we're talking about, NVIDIA has employed machine learning and an artificial intelligence to help basically create game worlds, or render the graphics for game worlds, in a way that hasn't really been done before. So by feeding it tons of video, in this case it's a driving game, so they fed it a lot of dash cam video.
Sure.
It has, the AI has kind of learned patterns and found ways of replicating what it saw in the videos as its own world.
Well, and what I also find interesting is that it was replicating things on almost a one-to-one scale, right?
Yes.
Like, they did a couple of side-by-sides where it was like, this is the dash cam video, this is the AI rendered video, and it was almost the same thing. And I think I'm a little less interested in what the AI can generate that is trying to replicate something
as opposed to some original.
Exactly. That's what I think is going to be much, much more critical and interesting moving forward. Is, okay, now the AI has seen, you know, 100 hours of dash cam footage, make an original city, and you know, here are the building blocks to do it.
Well, you mentioned too not wanting to take the human element out of it. I think what we'll see is it'll be up to, you know, the actual programmers, the actual designers, to develop said map, and then once you have, like, sort of that skeleton structure, you give it to the AI to give it the realism, to actually put the textures on there or whatnot.
It's worth noting, like, guys, this is the beginning of the Matrix. This is it. We are literally now asking machines,
hey, if someone's gonna enslave us in a digital world, it better look good.
That's true.
I mean,
gotta look good.
I mean, he's not wrong. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on the Hawk 1340 in Wenatchee, Washington, as well as the Fan 97.1 in Columbus, Ohio. We're currently talking about this really, really lifelike, and I mean eerily lifelike, video that NVIDIA has put out of an AI rendered city that is one of the most impressive pieces of footage that I've ever seen. And we've kind of got, you know, the video playing in the studio here,
and it's, oh my god, it's so weird when you look at it, because even what we have conceptualized in our head as photorealistic graphics, this reminds you that we're not even close.
Yeah, this does seem a step far beyond that too.
Well, and that's the thing is that I think we've acknowledged at the point that game worlds are probably at a point to where we don't really want them to get too much bigger. The world itself. So, like, I'm playing through Odyssey, and Odyssey is a gargantuan game.
A huge one.
And
it is,
I really don't want that world to be bigger.
No, I just want it filled out more.
I want detail.
Yes.
And that's where the AI and stuff is going to help a lot in not making these worlds bigger, but making them more detailed.
Because you know what? As I see this AI driving along on the street, I realize that every driving game I've played, there's not nearly enough cars.
Right, exactly.
Even when it seems like there's a ton of cars, like when you think of like Grand Theft Auto, right?
Sure.
It seems like there's a ton of cars in that city.
You're not going fast enough.
No, and that's a good point. But at the same time, when they break what you're seeing down into its framework view,
mm-hmm.
you see how few differences there are in detection between objects, right? It can detect the difference between a car and the side of the road.
Right.
But it seems like outside of the road, the car and anything else, like it can't differentiate. So, Norris, what you're talking about, that detailing work, that ability to place objects and place them in a way that doesn't bug out or seems mm-hmm. natural. I hope that that's what it's going to be able to help with, but it seems indicative from this video that that's not necessarily what it's meant to do, that it may be working on the more macro aspects of building a digital city.
Now, to that point, and I don't know if you guys caught this in the article, but I purposely didn't tell you because I wanted to drop it right here. What we saw in those videos is being rendered on a single GPU core.
That's impressive.
What?
That is being done on a single core. Now imagine what 1,000 of them could be doing together.
Right. And I think that is a very strong statement. But again, we have photos based on, you know, references for what this AI is replicating.
Yeah,
so,
and I mean, we'll get to a point to where the AI could build and say, okay, this is a game that has a reconstruction of Chicago 1-to-1. Every block of Chicago is recreated.
But what do you want? What do you
want to play that?
Hang on. But what do you want the human element touch to be on? Do you want it to be on the macro scale or do you want it to be in the detailing? Because I think I want the human touch to be in the detailing. Mm-hmm. You know, I actually saw a really
NPCs. Don't leave those out.
Yeah. You know, I saw a really interesting presentation over the weekend that talked about game dialogue and doing natural game dialogue and using a scene in Blade Runner to as the example of how it could be done in a very interesting and engaging way. And I think I would like to see game devs a little bit more concerned with those types of details mm-hmm. than, hey, where does this junk pile go? But listen, that's where we're going to have to leave the discussion for today. Thanks so much for joining us for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website at checkpointxp.com for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a full collection of podcasts and interviews. Checkpoint XP Daily will be back tomorrow talking to Detroit Renegades owner Jonas Jerebko. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Thanks to our executive producing team of Buzz Knight, Mike Thomas, and Rick Scott. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Corpus and, of course, my co-hosts who pull double duties as producers for Checkpoint, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and over at the Checkpoint News Desk, Joe Sloan. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint Radio, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointradio.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.